Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today, returning from What's in the Queue podcast, is Emily.
Hello, everyone.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm really proud that I didn't do my standard Obi-Wan, hello there.
I mean...
Oh, but I just did it. Never mind.
It works for what we're doing today.
I tried.
Yeah, it's fine. So, I got requested to do the original Star Wars Marvel run.
Oh boy.
I wasn't planning on starting it yet. However, once I looked at where this would line up, where it would fall, this actually will be coming out when Celebration hits.
You mean
in April?
When people are listening to this, they're at Celebration right now.
We'll be at Celebration
time
for like
travel.
A couple of the episodes, yeah.
Yes.
So, because we're going to Star Wars Celebration. We'll be there Saturday and Sunday, right?
Yes. Yeah, so if you see a tall lady with purple hair, it's probably me.
Or Holdo.
Or like 1,000 Amelin Holdo cosplayers. But it could be me.
I still think you should do a Holdo cosplay.
If I could find a delightfully mauve prom dress, yes. Yes, I will.
I mean, we can look. Okay.
No, well, and it's what's even more fun about recording these episodes now when we're recording them, not to, you know, prevent your podcast from being evergreen, but all the new deets on Galaxy's Edge just came out within the past, what, week and a half?
Yeah.
I hyperventilated reading one Gizmodo article that had 77 items that they learned about Galaxy's Edge.
I just love that, like, every single day, because it took you a couple days to read that.
I got to item number 17 on the list, and I just had to put my phone down.
Yeah, because you were hyperventilating. You were,
I couldn't breathe.
You were like showing me this number 9. This. It was great.
They're giving me an animatronic Hondo Anaka.
Which,
oh my god,
that video looked amazing.
Oh, I'm gonna get kidnapped by Kylo Ren, guys.
Anyway, so today we are actually, like I said, we're reading the original 1977 Star Wars run that was put out by Marvel. We're doing issues 1 through 6. The writer is Roy Thomas, or I should say the Roy Thomas adapted George Lucas' screenplay.
One of them, yes.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure which. This is definitely one of the earlier screenplays, and we'll get into it. I'm going to say probably within the first three, because I'm pretty sure 4 or 5 was what they made the Star Wars comics from Dark Horse. That's what they adapted those issues from.
Okay.
Which we'll cover those at some point. I've got all 8 of those, and I think I got the trade up here somewhere.
I mean, I'm currently dressed in a Padme-inspired cape, so you know I'm down to talk about Star Wars.
Well, I know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so continuing on, the artists were Howard Chaykin and Steve Lailoa. Letters were done by Jim Novak, Tom Orzechowski, Rick Hoberg, and Bill Ray. Colors were done by Marie Severin, Steve Lealoha, and Glynis Wine. So let's go ahead and get into these issues. Very first thing, we have got... My problem that I'm going to run into is comparing this to the movies.
Don't do it.
Because these first 6 issues is basically an outline of A New Hope, which is fine, but there are some differences, and I definitely want to touch on the differences.
We're going to play Spot the Difference.
Oh, there's a lot of differences. And a lot of deleted scenes, which is great.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Well, we start out here. We've got the Empire firing upon, they don't call it by name, but it's the Tantive IV, you know, Princess Leia's ship. I like here how... we give a quick little outline. It's period of civil war in the galaxy. A brave alliance of underground freedom fighters has challenged the tyranny and oppression of the awesome galactic empire. To crush the rebellion once and for all, the empire is constructing a sinister new battle station, powerful enough to destroy an entire planet. Its completion will spell certain doom for the champions of freedom. Striking from a hidden fortress among the billion stars of the galaxy, Rebel spaceships have won their first victory in a battle with the powerful Imperial Starfleet. The Empire fears that another defeat could bring 1,000 more solar systems into the rebellion, and Imperial control over the galaxy would be lost forever. My problem is, knowing what we know for the new canon, like, it's hard.
Is it?
It, well, only because I know that from the events of Rogue One, it was...
What's that movie?
It was... Right after that is when they're still, we get the scene.
Five minutes.
Yeah, if that.
Yeah.
Whereas they're saying that the battle's already won, now the Empire is retaliating. That's the way I'm taking it.
Well, and, okay, going back to when all the world had was that original Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
That's all we had.
Yeah, so...
You know, like, we're sitting in a very privileged position to have so much more explained for us than what people got in 1977.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
So it's going to be hard for me. I already know this. It's going to be hard for me to turn my mind off of that for this whole thing.
Alcohol helps.
It does. It really does. We zoom into the ship, and we've got the stormtroopers coming on to the Tantive V4, and we see two familiar droids, C-3PO and R2-D2.
And C-3PO, just like in the movie, he's losing his mind. Mm-hmm. Oh, this, you know, we gotta get out of here,
I like how 3PO is a little more animated.
He is!
It's comics,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, in this panel, it looks like he's diving out of the way, the middle panel there.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is great.
Did you still read C-3PO and Anthony Daniels' voice in your head, though? Okay, good.
You can't read it any other way. Just like I read Luke as Mark Hamill.
Yeah. Like it... Even though he looks like He-Man? Can we get into that?
Go ahead.
Okay, so you talked about, you know, struggling to compare it, not compare these comics in particular to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at the original cover, what's that top left box called where it's got like the price and the dates?
Oh,
and,
crap.
I'm sure there's an official title for what that box is called. I always call it like the info box for the comic. But you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Luke Skywalker, blue lightsaber in hand, is standing there. He looks so much like He-Man right there. It threw me for a loop for a second.
Thank you for bringing up blue lightsaber. So the book you're reading, the hardcover copy you have,
yes,
is the
it's a collected edition.
It's a re-release of when Marvel got the rights back.
Yes,
they re-released the original, like A New Hope, Empire, and Return.
Right.
This is a hardcover copy, which is it's beautiful. I like it on the shelf.
It's a really good collection. It's got a nice little opening bit from Peter Mayhew in the front. Yeah, it's really nice.
They redid the colors on that versus what I have in the original. In the original, Luke's got a red lightsaber.
Yes, he does.
So does Obi-Wan.
Twice.
Yeah, on both.
Yeah, there's the little, whatever that
the box.
Freaking, and please, it's at Emily_ Bonner, B-O-N-E-R, on Instagram. Please let me know what that little box is called, if you know what it is. It's not like I'm looking at my phone right now. I can easily go Google it. What? You know, whatever. but no, let me know what that is. So the ship's being attacked. Droids are freaking out. Cut to a desert landscape.
And we see Luke Skywalker on Tatooine with his macro binoculars looking up at the sky. And he sees these two ships fighting in outer space. So he jumps into his land speeder and...
I love that little detail, though. The idea that you would see this space battle because the blasts would be so big and stuff like that. But, and... Okay,
well, they also were really close to the planet. Like, they were in the planet's orbit.
Right, right. But it got me thinking about that Vader Dark Visions comic that you bought for your collection and not specifically for me, although I did read it 3 times in one day. That also opens with a guy on a random planet who is seeing an epic space battle going on above him. And it's one of those things that, like, I think we finally got a taste of it in The Last Jedi, where, you know, like Captain Kalik or Kalix, I think is Billy Lord's character. They see on, it's not Takodana. Where are they hiding?
They're on Takodana. No.
That's not Takodana. I'm blanking on whatever planet the resistance was hiding on. But like you see the Star Destroyers.
Okay.
Whatever planet it is. You see the Star Destroyers show up because they're giant.
Yeah.
Like they're so much bigger than like our space station that we've got up in orbit or anything like that. Like it's a nice scope. It's a nice touch.
No, it's great. Well, especially since if you know your Star Wars, if you know your New Hope, this is a deleted scene in the movie. And we have, going through these books, we're going to see a few of those.
There's some delightful ones. Yes. That I understand why they cut them for time and yada, yada, yada.
The Jabba scene in particular, well, they cut that because everything he says to Jabba there, he already said to Greedo. There's no point in having that scene.
Right.
We go back to the Tantive, and Vader shows up. This is our first introduction to Vader. And hey, Vader. Darth Vader. Lord Vader.
Mm, yeah, right. Yes. Yes, Lord Vader. I'll stop now.
And he's grabbing this rebel, which we know is supposed to be Captain Antilles.
Right.
But it's just, in this issue, it's just another a rebel on the ship.
Right.
And he's asking him where the data tapes were that they intercepted. The guy, the rebel's like, we're on a diplomatic mission, and we don't have any tapes. And Vader's like, no, you do. We saw you get the tapes. We saw you intercept the transmissions.
Well, and also he's like, the ship has the Alderaanian like family crest on it. Mm-hmm. So like, where do you have any of the royal family on board?
And Vader chokes him to death and snaps his neck. And
it's fine.
Then he's like, you know, find me the pastures. I want them alive.
I want them alive.
We go over to Leia giving R2 the tapes along with the message. You know, we'll see the message later. You know, R2 comes up to C-3PO and starts beeping away. They rush off to an escape pod. 3PO is arguing the entire time. It's like, we shouldn't be doing this. But they hop in the escape pod and fly off. So we go back to Leia. And this is a scene where the stormtroopers find her. She's trying to hide. And the stormtrooper's like, there's one of them. Set your weapons for stun.
And Leia goes, I've set mine to kill.
Yeah. So, I guess good.
Oh, there's a really good example. The next panel has a really good example of drawing a human body and then coloring it differently to show that the body has clothes on. And it reminds me of what Carrie Fisher said that George Lucas said to her, that there's no lingerie in space. So no bras. I need you to not wear a bra, okay?
Love it.
Yeah.
So we go back to Tatooine, and actually there it's Anchorhead, and we have Luke, and he runs into, I'm assuming it's just like some hangout him and his friends have.
Right. I'm assuming like a local dive bar.
Something. He rushes in there, and two of his friends.
The guy calls the girl Cammy, and the girl calls the guy Fixer.
Okay, so yeah, these two friends they're talking about Wormy in reference to Luke. So I'm gonna start calling Luke Skywalker Wormy.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No.
Yes.
Nope.
Yep.
Do we need to break up?
Oh wait, hold on. Whoa! Wow! Wait a minute.
Huh. You can cut that out.
I'm really glad I bought my own computer laptop now.
Oh no, that means I gotta give the Vader Dark Visions comic back. No! No, we can't break up. Never mind.
God damn it. Anyway, Luke is telling him to basically shut up when he sees Biggs, you know, his best friend. And this is, I believe, another deleted scene from the movie.
Yes.
Where it's Luke talking to Biggs, and Luke is telling Biggs about the star battle he saw, the two ships up in space fighting. Biggs looks up, and all he sees is just the Star Destroyer. And he's like, well, maybe I don't see a battle. I just see the one ship. Maybe he's just getting a tanker refill. You know, maybe he's just refilling his fuel. Luke's like, but no, they were firing earlier. I saw it.
I can hear whiny Luke in my head.
He was just who the character was. And Mark Hamill did a wonderful job doing it too.
Yeah.
We go back to space, and the stormtroopers bring Leia up to Vader, and Vader's asking Leia where the tapes are at, and she's like, we're on a diplomatic mission, and this the whole, you're part of a Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take her away. Love that scene. Back onto Tatooine, and we see the escape pod that 3PO and R2 took down to the planet. And this is, so I definitely want to compare these. I don't want to, but I'm going to. In the movie, 3PO starts walking away, and R2 is just sitting there, and 3PO is saying, like, don't follow me, we're done as friends, or we're done as,
yeah, get out of here, whatever, you rust bucket, or
it's
whatever,
like, don't think about following me, I'm never gonna talk to you again, blah blah blah. And so then R2 goes his way, and then later on 3PO is like, he tricked me going this way, and then that's when we see R2 getting, you know, when he's wherever he's at,
right,
getting taken by the Jawas.
Yeah,
this scene, they're literally, what, 15 feet apart?
I mean,
when the Jawas attack.
I feel like this makes more sense because C-3PO is not a quick mover.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
But R2 is. R2 got away from him.
Yeah, but wheels on sand.
This is that other deleted scene.
I love this scene.
Where Biggs is telling Luke that, you know, as soon as he can, he's jumping ship and join the rebellion. And Luke is like, you know, I want to join you, but I can't leave my uncle. Like, he needs me for at least one more season. So he has the fighting spirit of his father, air quotes, father. He doesn't know his father, but he has the teachings of his uncle in him. And no matter what, he's going to follow his uncle because his uncle was there.
Well, and this is another really good example of the beginning of the hero's journey, where you know our hero is, you know, but a humble salt of the earth type person who doesn't know about running off into wild adventures and things like that. Like, yeah, it's a really good example.
He follows the rules because that's all he knows.
Right.
Back up to the Death Star. Although I don't, do they call it Death Star? They call it a battle station.
Yes.
Because they have actually, well, they've named it, but. And we've got the scene where all the commanders are sitting at the table arguing. Admirals are sitting at the table arguing about how the Death Star is the most powerful thing in the universe now. And
We find out that the Senate has been dissolved, mm-hmm, by the Emperor.
Yeah, this is where Tarkin walks in. I like this picture, of Vader behind Tarkin.
Oh, I love it.
It's very, I mean, he looks like a pig, but with like the squinty eyes.
Yeah, Vader looks a little linker right there. But like, it's just, it's the scale of the picture of, because like, we know Tarkin is not a short man by any means.
Oh no, Tarkin's, and
Vader just towers, looms over him.
Yeah. There is a scene here. Oh, yes. Okay, so, as they are debating, Vader is standing behind Tarkin.
Yes.
And he force pulls a cup of,
I'm going to assume calf.
Something.
It's a steaming liquid beverage.
No, it's not steaming. I think that's just like the trail to show that.
The force trail?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it would have been steaming the next two. But he's sitting there holding this cup. Yes. He's holding this cup.
No,
as he chokes out the guy.
I didn't even think about him just randomly holding a glass. All I could think of was Obi-Wan would be so disappointed if he saw me doing this.
See, it's hard to shut off the knowledge, right? But no, just the fact that Darth Vader is holding this glass of water, something, a drink, a beverage, and he's gonna drink it, maybe? It's the dark helmet where he sips it through the grate. I love that.
Oh, you know what else it reminds me of? You know when you play cornhole?
Yeah.
And like, you got your bean bags that you got to toss. Like, I can't toss a bean bag unless I have a beer in my other hand. Like, it's a balance thing. The force is all about finding balance. So I mean, this really makes sense. This honestly makes more sense.
You're not wrong. Now we're on to the scene back on Tatooine where the Jawas are selling the robots to Luke and
Danny.
Uncle Owen.
As you've been going through, as you read this comic, mm-hmm. did you also supplement some of these scenes with the scenes from a certain point of view?
No, because I haven't read that yet. I still haven't read that.
One of the McElroys
yep.
wrote a scene.
Griffin, yep.
In this Jawa.
Really?
Tractor mover thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if everyone out there, if you get a chance, pick up From a Certain Point of View. It's not, it's canon adjacent, but it's fun. And gets a little draggy because a lot of the authors really want to redeem some stormtroopers and give them emotions instead of just being faceless space Nazis. But there's some gems
in
there.
But they're not faceless space Nazis.
Mm, they are. No. Anywho. But it's a delight. Pick it up if you get a chance.
So we got the scene where they pick out the one, I think it's an R5 unit?
It's an R5, yeah.
Yeah, that has a bad motivator.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hold on. In the movie, it's R5. They say this one's R2.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
It's an R5 unit, though.
Yeah. So then they get, you know, R2. Right, the RR2.
This is the I was going to Tashi Station scene.
Yeah. After you finished your chores, Luke.
You got very choral on that.
Choral. We get Luke cleaning out R2, and he comes upon the Leia recording.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
See, she says it backwards. She says, Obi-Wan Kenobi, help me.
I'm quoting the movie.
I know.
Okay.
But we're reading the book.
No.
You get Luke saying, you know, she's beautiful. Because
looking like He-Man.
With his two different direction eyes.
I mean.
Are the eyes in that one in two different directions? Or
they're not going the same direction.
Okay. Because I figured that all they did was just sharpen up the color on that one.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. We go to the next scene and we have Luke having dinner with Owen and Beru. And he explains that he thinks the droids might have been stolen because they're looking for an Obi-Wan Kenobi. Owen's like, okay, he's trouble. Don't ever go near him.
That old wizard.
Yeah. Go have those R2 units' memories erased tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. Luke is all sad because now that there's more droids, he wants to go apply for the academy. And Owen's like, no, I need your help. That, you know, that whole scene.
Yeah.
Luke goes back to the droids, and R2 is run off. So the very next morning, R2 and 3PO chase after him. We get the scene where the
who chases after him?
Luke and I said he and 3PO, didn't I?
You said R2.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay. Where Luke and 3PO chase after him. We get a couple quick scenes of the stormtroopers landing on Tatooine. Finding the escape pod and realizing that they're looking for droids. And then we get another quick scene of the Tusken Raiders basically tracking Luke and 3PO.
Through the canyons.
Yeah. They finally run into R2. And this here is a scene where Luke goes and chases down the sand people. Like, I know I'm being very, like, glib with what I'm... You know, saying this is seen straight from the movies, like
yeah.
So, and we end the issue with Luke fighting the sand people, getting attacked by the Tusken Raiders. So,
on to the next issue.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you like listening to Emily, please check out the What's in the Queue podcast, where they talk about documentaries on the internet. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching What's in the Queue. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Star Wars story.